things that are needed in a relationship or marriage. Now, of course, I don't have the knowledge that you couples do who are married, but the Lord impressed on me a few things that I would like to use. And number one is courage. Now, you wonder why you need courage in a relationship or a marriage. You have to have courage to love. You have to have courage to know that you might get hurt. Amen? Okay, I guess no one else is here. Okay. Well, as I talk about courage, one couple stands out to me in the Bible. And that couple is Mary and Joseph. You see, Mary was pregnant, not to Joseph, but the Holy Spirit. And she had to have the courage to understand and know that what she was about to go through was going to be a test, not just for her, as well as Joseph. How many men here can honestly say they had the courage or would have had the courage to take on a kid that was not theirs? Joseph, this man, had the courage to not only accept what was given to him, but he took that and turned it into a blessing. To be the father of our Savior, to be the father of the one that came down and died for our sins. You see, in a relationship, you need courage. And my mom is going to hurt me later when I tell this story. But I grew the courage one time, a couple years back, and I decided to introduce a young lady to my mother. First of all, let's stop right there. I'm the only boy, and there's four sisters. But not only that, I'm Polynesian, Tommy. And for those who are Polynesian, you know, mama speaks. No matter if you have courage, mama's going to show you that courage sometimes isn't the right thing to have. So I had the courage to introduce this young lady, and I won't go into details, but let's just say mama made it clear that what mama wanted was what mama wanted, and what I wanted was not what it should have been. We tend to get the things confused and mixed up. We tend to get courage to do things that isn't what the Lord wanted. It's because it's what we wanted. We tend to shy away from what the Lord says. And with courage comes faith. That's number two. And with faith, a lot can happen in a relationship. And when I talk about faith, I actually would like for you guys to turn with me. Or I'll just read it for you guys. From Hebrews 11, verse 11, and it says, "And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children, because she considered him faithful who made the promise." You see, Sarah, she was way past the age of having a little kid. And yet she had faith in the Lord to know that he was going to provide a child. And sure enough, he did. Not only that, Abraham, the father of faith, had the faith to know that he was willing to sacrifice his own son for the Lord. Now, in relationships, we're supposed to have faith in each other. In your other half, in your other spouse, you're supposed to have faith that they'll be there for you. But sometimes we get too confused, and we tend to lose faith in one another. How about we start not worrying about the faith you have in the other person, and start worrying about the faith you have in Christ? You see, because the faith you have in Christ will only grow and will only help you stronger in a relationship as long as you have faith in the Lord. You see, with courage comes faith, and with faith comes trust. Now, trust is one of the biggest things that a relationship needs. Amen?
Amen.
Somebody said amen kind of loud there. Amen. Trust in the Lord. You see, in a relationship, we tend to forget. We tend to lose track of things. And I want to read to you from Judges 16:15. You see, not all stories in the Bible. I could have used Abraham, Sarah, Joseph, Mary, about to trust in the Lord, but trust isn't always work out for you in the best way. You see, in Judges 16, 15 through 17, so she said to him, "How can you say you love me when you don't mean it? You've made a fool of me three times, and you still haven't told me what makes you so strong." She kept on asking him day after day. He got sick and tired of her bothering him. Let me repeat that again. He got sick and tired of her bothering him about it, that he finally told her the truth. "My hair has never been cut," he said. "I have dedicated myself to God as a Nazarite from the time I was born. If my hair were to be cut, I would lose my strength and be as weak as anybody else." You see, Samson had taken a vow as a kid. And he took that vow, and he was disobedient to the Lord. And even though he was disobedient to the Lord, he trusted Delilah, even after Delilah constantly lied to him and constantly tried to trick him. You see, in today's world, we tend to do that a lot in relationships. We tend to trust the wrong thing. We tend to trust in something that's of this world and not of the Word. How about we start trusting in the Lord and trust that He will take you where you want to be in a relationship? You see, ladies, you guys are out there looking for your David. You guys are out there searching for David, and you guys keep running into Goliath. How about you guys just sit back, be patient, and let the Lord, just trust in the Lord. The Lord will send you David your way. That man who plays a harp, writes poetry, slays giants for you. Amen? I know there's a lot of Davids in this church today. Pastor Nelson's one of them. Amen. Not only does courage lead to faith and trust, we come full circle to number four. And with number four is love. Love. I remember as a kid in fourth grade, I really thought I was in love. I really thought I was in love. Fourth grade, little kid. I don't know about love. I'll never forget. She was raving. She was raving. And I remember every day in class, I would just sit there and stare at her. And I was a weird kid. I would just stare. But what made it very interesting was I was so sure that I was in love that I would go home. Okay, first of all, I thought I was in love with her because she looked like Jasmine from Aladdin. I guess I fell in love for a long reason. I apologize. But what I did was I would go home and I would grab a pillow and I would put this pillow in the middle of the living room. I'd make sure my sisters were watching, my mom and dad weren't listening, and I would sit on the pillow. And then I would start singing A Whole New World. I'd start singing, and I would start acting like I'm on the carpet, you know. I would think she was next to me, and I would look like this, and no one was there, it's okay. And I'd make sure it was fine. So as I'm sitting there singing, man, I was a weird kid. But the whole point of the story is, I fell in love for the wrong reasons. And sometimes we tend to do that. Sometimes we tend to see what's on the outside without realizing what's on the inside. You see, it's kind of like a mummy. Make them look all nice, all pretty on the outside. But underneath, they're rotten. In a relationship, if you can't have a steady relationship with the Lord, what makes you think you can have a steady relationship with someone else? You see, the real expression of love was shown by God. He showed that. John 3:16, everyone knows the verse. But God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. He gave His only Son. And Jesus showed His love for us by being the ultimate sacrifice. Jesus, the ultimate sacrifice. You see, number five comes full circle and it revolves around one person. Jesus. Jesus is the most important person that you need in a relationship.
Amen.
If you can't have a foundation based on Jesus, what is it? You see, even Ellen G. White speaks on this and says that the church is built on the foundation of Christ. So why not try to build a relationship that is founded in Jesus Christ? Now, I understand that I'm not married yet, but I know that if you can build a relationship based and founded on Jesus Christ, you'll learn to be more courageous, more faithful, more loving, and more trusting, not in your other half, but in Jesus. And in do so, Jesus will be sure to be there for you every step of your relationship. If you think that things will go bad, I guarantee you Jesus has a better and bigger plan for you. If relationships haven't worked in the past, it is not your fault. Be humble, be patient, and wait. God has somebody for you.
Amen.
You see, I'm going to tell you a story. And how I'm going to tell the story, I'm going to tell it as if I was the man who was telling the story. So bear with me. I've got to get into it. Hi. My name is John. I met my best friend when I was a kid in church. And we played together all the time. We grew up in elementary, went into high school, went into college, still my best friend. Up until the day I was blessed to call my best friend my wife. As the years went on, we started to drift apart. Me and my wife started going separate ways. She was feeling one way, and I was feeling another way. We started to drift. And all of a sudden, I started to fall in love with another woman at work. I started to have feelings for Jane, my secretary. And I tried to hide this from my wife. See, weeks have been going on, and I finally decided I wanted a divorce. So one night, I'm coming home, and my wife prepares food. We sit down, and I mumble the words, "I want a divorce." My wife doesn't say anything. She just looks up, and she asks, "Why? Why?" I couldn't give her an answer. I just couldn't. I didn't know what to say. Nothing. I just nodded my head. I don't know. She got mad. She tossed her food to the side. She started yelling, "You're not a man. You are not a man. What kind of man are you?" She stormed off. I followed behind her. I should have waited, but I gave her the divorce papers. And in the divorce papers it stated she can have the house, she can have the car, and she can have 30% of my company. She tore it up, and she broke down in tears right there and then. And I sat there, and I felt nothing. I felt nothing for this woman I married. I had no feeling whatsoever, and her crying was like a burden lifted off my chest. I didn't love her. I just pitied her. You see, went to sleep that night. I went to work. I came back late. And she was just sitting there writing. I didn't eat dinner. I went straight to bed. And that night as I was sleeping, I had a vision. I had a dream. I dreamt about the good times we had, how we had Jesus in our relationship before we got married. And I wondered as I woke up, what happened to that? I woke up in the middle of the night, she was still writing. I didn't care. I turned back over, went back to sleep. The next morning I woke up, She presented me with divorce conditions. And her first condition was that she would like a month in advance that we live out our lives as normal as possible because our son was finishing up school and she did not want our broken marriage to interrupt with his education. So I said, okay. Then she made one weird request. She asked if I remembered when I carried her on our wedding night to our bedroom. She said, for that whole month, I want you to carry me down the stairs from our bedroom to the front door. I thought it was weird, so I said, fine, if this is gonna help you get over this, then okay. So I went to work, I told Jane, and Jane said, well, as long as she knows that you're mine after this, that's fine. And we just laughed. That night I got home. The next morning, it was very weird. It was awkward between me and my wife as I was trying to carry her. We were clumsy, and it wasn't helping because my son was behind me and he was just clapping, yay, daddy's carrying mommy, don't drop her, please, yay. And every time my son was saying those words, it was like darts to my heart. It hurt every single time. Day two came, day three came, day four came. And as I was carrying her down, I actually looked down at her as I was holding her. I hadn't stared at this woman in so long. She was aging. Her hair was gray. Wrinkles were being shown. You could see that this marriage had taken a toll on her. And I said nothing to Jane about it, but as the days went on, it became easier to carry her, and I started to feel love grow for her again. But I suppressed all of that. And one morning, as I'm waiting, she's getting ready, and she's trying on clothes. And she can't seem to get anything to fit. And finally, she just shrugs and says, oh, nothing fits. Everything's big on me. Right then and there, I noticed that she had been losing weight. She had grown so thin. She had suppressed so much hurt inside that I failed to notice. I failed to notice this. So I walked up to her at that moment and I put my hand on her forehead and I said, are you okay? And at that very moment, our son comes into the room and he walks over. I'm happy that we have a happy family, Daddy. I'm so happy. I can't wait to be like you when I grow up. I turned my head quickly away. I didn't want them to see any tears coming down my face. On the last day, my son had gone to school. He had already left the school. And I was standing there as I was watching my wife get ready. I could not move. Couldn't move. And finally, when she was done, I stepped forward and I carried her down. She went on to work. I rushed to work. As soon as I got to work, I jumped out the car, didn't turn off the car. I ran upstairs straight to Jane and I said, Jane, I cannot do this. I cannot do this. What are you talking about? What can you do? Do what? I can't divorce my wife. I realized what was missing in our marriage. The little things, the little details in life. It wasn't her, it was me. I lost track, we both lost sight of Christ, and that was the issue. Jane, finally realizing what was happening, she got angry and she slapped me. It hurt, but she took off running, crying downstairs. And me, I just said, okay. I rushed down, jumped in the car. I stopped by the flower shop. I got the most expensive roses they had. And in Hawaii, flowers are expensive. And as I get to the counter, the lady asked me if I wanted to write something on the card. And I said, oh, I have the perfect thing. I wrote on the card, I will carry you down these stairs every day for the rest of my life. Till death do us part. I love you. I sped home, so excited, trying to clean myself up. I was about to see my wife, and as I run up to the room, she's laying in the bed, and I sit next to her, and I'm getting ready. I'm so excited. Only to realize my wife had died. My wife had been fighting cancer for years. And I lost sight. I lost track of this because I was so caught up in the world. And I didn't know what to do. My wife knew what was going to happen, but in our son's eyes, she wanted me to look like the loving husband that my son wanted to be when he grew up. You see, people, the small details in your lives are what really matter. Not the money, not the cars, not the house, not the clothes you own. It's the little details in life. Men, love your wives. Women, love your husbands. I know that I talked to my mom and a few days ago, actually, or last week, and a good family friend had passed. He had passed from pneumonia, and he left his wife behind. And I never realized it, but as I was thinking and I was realizing that tomorrow is never promised. You see, everything centers around Christ. Amen. A relationship foundation should be built on Christ.
Amen.
Because with Christ, not only do you grow the courage to love and trust and have faith, but you learn as well. So all I ask is that, ladies, I know that your husbands do annoy you sometimes, and women, I know you annoy your husbands as well. I know that from couples I've met here and there that who have Christ in their life, it's very noticeable. Imagine those couples you know who don't have Christ and are living wonderfully. Imagine how much more wonderful your relationship could be if Christ was the foundation of your relationship.
Amen.
Jesus loved us that much that he died. God loved us that much that he sent his only son. Today, I issue a challenge of a love dare. It's not to have you try to build on anything or nothing like that. It's just a simple challenge of, if you can show Christ how much you love him, and you can implement him into your life with your other half, imagine how much well and how much better your relationship will be.
Amen.
If we love the way Jesus loved, if we trust the way Jesus trusted, if we have the courage that Jesus had to come down here to die for us, and we continue to have faith in him and apply every single aspect into our lives, imagine how much amazing that love that you have with your other half grows. The Lord says it himself, love is patient, love is kind. It doesn't boast, it doesn't envy, it doesn't keep track of wrongdoings. So today, as I come to a close, I ask that we love one another. Whether you're single or you're not, if you're single, you're in a relationship with Christ. Work on that. Work on your relationship with Christ. And just be patient. Christ has someone for you. You see, God is love. And he shows it to us every day we wake up. So my issue today is, love the way Jesus would love. And I guarantee you, you'll be loved back.
Amen.
Thank you.